Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world. And also it's a huge pleasure to welcome four exceptional, exuberant, and exquisite players of the game. Seated on my right, we have that very popular and brilliant and wonderful comedian, Paul Merton. And sitting beside him, we have the very erudite, clever, and the most senior member of our team, Clement Freud. And sitting on my left, we have that very popular, lovable, and sometimes outrageous comedian, Graham Norton. And sitting beside him, representing the distaff side, we have someone, a comedian who is just as lovely as she is funny, and that is Linda Smith. And would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst. She's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds is up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Yvonne Arno Theatre in the marvellous town of Guildford. And as you can hear, we have an enthusiastic theatre audience drawn from many areas of the fine county of Surrey who've come on to show their enthusiasm as we start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject on the card is pulling someone's leg. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game starting now?
Pulling someone's leg is another way of saying you're gently teasing somebody. For example, the microphones weren't working particularly well when we did the sound check for this programme, but now that... and there was half a pound of mince left at the end of the day. I've always taken that as a parable for our modern times. Indeed, if you look today at the state of the church, you can see that the Archbishop of Canterbury, when he said just before...
A terminus challenge.
Repetition.
He's right. I said ecumenical twice.
Yes.
I got him saying once.
But I think his challenge is on the fact that you hesitated on your pausing. And by the way...
I didn't hesitate at all. I was straight in there.
The silence then. There was a repetition
was
of the
repetition
silence.
Repetition of microphone failure.
Am I to be blamed?
That's what I was trying to say.
No longer up to running a radio show.
But I should explain
you
to...
You can remember radio before it had microphones, can't you, Nicholas?
Absolutely.
You had to open the window in the studio and shout.
Clement, you had a correct challenge, and you get a point for that, of course. You have 21 seconds still available. Tell us something about pulling someone's leg starting now.
Sartorially, pulling someone's leg is absolutely essential if one trouser leg is longer than the other.
Linda, challenge.
Oh, no, but I immediately suddenly realised what a fool I was because
Why?
He repeated leg,
yes.
Which he's totally entitled to do.
Yes. He's entitled, because you can repeat either the subject
I know,
or
yeah. I know.
Yeah, Linda.
Well...
what are you thinking?
I'm not going to give you excuses. There are no excuses.
But Linda,
it was just wrong.
There was a bit of a gap between his two legs.
But Linda, I don't mind that you challenged because it was lovely to hear from you.
Thank you.
And let everybody know that you are here and with us in good spirit. But it was an incorrect challenge.
Oh, so I've still got all my faculties.
Yes.
I know. And so Clement gets another point. And he has 14 seconds to continue pulling someone's leg starting now.
The other way you could shorten pants would be simply to take them to Marks and Spencer.
Paul, challenge.
Did we not have other before? No. Repetition of other?
Never.
We had the other leg.
The other leg, yes. You had the
right
other leg.
Right leg and left leg.
definitely had other.
Yes. Clement is one of the best bluffers I know, but on that occasion, even he couldn't resist the smile, so he's given himself away. And, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject back. 8 seconds available, starting now.
The Spanish Inquisition were notorious for stretching people's legs. They'd get hold of you on the rack and they'd pull you one stretch at a time.
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of pull.
No.
No.
Not pulling.
He'd pull you one
stretch. He said pull before.
No.
You keep out of this.
get you on the rack and pull. I'm just going to do a quick retraction of my mind. The whole thing
is going to take this.
We have a radio engineer in the van called Martha, who I think...
Let him have it.
Let him have it?
Yeah.
Very charitable. Very charitable.
I think he deserves it. Paul, the subject, and 1 second to go with another point, of course, for incorrect challenge. Pulling one someone's leg, starting now.
Ronnie Corbett's never been the same since.
Whoever is speaking in this game, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. He has a lead at the end of the round, ahead of Clement Freud. Graham Norton and Linda Smith have yet to score. But, Graham, it is your turn to begin.
Right.
And the subject we'd like you to take is My Idea of Heaven. Tell us something about it. Oh, they're eager to...
No.
They must have rather strange minds.
I know.
But let us find out. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My idea of heaven is to curl up with a good book in a giant nest made out of Gloria Hunniford's hair. I believe she uses apple shampoo. Fragrant. I'm loving it. Flicking the pages, I nestle down. Ooh, there's a sensation. I think she's having a thought. There's a pulsing beat in her head. Goodness, Gloria, stop it. Myself.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of Gloria.
Gloria,
oh, thank God for that.
You might say you can't have too much of Gloria, but...
Oh, that's true, yes. That's true. I could say that.
In this game, unfortunately, it's repetition. So, Paul, a correct challenge, 37 seconds available. My idea of heaven, starting now.
If one is to wander in the realms of the senses, then perhaps lying on a beach, eating a chocolate biscuit, drinking a glass of cider, and having your toes massaged by some native boy called Simon. What a wonderful treat this would be, as you lie underneath the coconut...
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of lie.
Yes, that's right. He was lying at the...
I'm not sure if it's true, but it sounds right, doesn't it?
So, Graham, you've got the subject back. You have another point. In fact, you've got your first point. And,
He couldn't leave it.
Anything for a laugh, isn't it? Right. 19 seconds, my idea of heaven, starting now.
My idea of heaven would be to sit in the audience as Amanda Holden read Ulysses aloud. Oh, that talented actress!
Paul Challenge.
That wouldn't take very long, would it? Just reading Ulysses aloud, that's it.
I think it would take Amanda quite a long time.
I think he meant the whole novel, Ulysses, by
really?
James Joyce, yes.
Thought...
Not just the word.
I thought he meant Ulysses Aloud, the boy band.
Anyway, it's a lovely thought, Paul, but it was an incorrect challenge, so, Graham, you have another point, and you have 8 seconds on My Idea of Heaven, starting now.
My idea of heaven would be to cycle down a long hill towards an ocean. Oh, look, there's a wave.
So, Graham Norton got that extra point. The whistle went. He's now got 3 points. Paul Merton has 3 points. Clement Freud has 3 points. And Linda, you haven't got any yet, so start the next round. And the subject is green fingers. I believe you are a bit of a gardener, aren't you?
We'll have to wait and see.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure the subject's been chosen especially for you.
That's for me to know.
Oh, for God's sake, just tell us.
You'll have to wait for the book, My Gardening Hell.
We're building up the tension as Green Fingers goes with Linda and 60 seconds starting now.
Green fingers. If you have green fingers, it means that you're wearing very cheap jewellery. I think you should try and avoid this. When people say green fingers, they mean that someone is good at gardening. They have a way of coaxing plants into life, not dying, as my partner tends to cause living...
Paul Challenge.
hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes.
Well, I was building tension, I thought.
So Green Fingers, Paul, is with you, and 40 seconds available, starting now.
I grow triffids at home, which are great until they start walking. You never know, can't find them. Wandered into the high street and borrowed a video. Blockbuster, I think, was the name of the shop. Sat back home, watched The Midnight Cowboy, took it back the next day. Dustin Hoffman, marvellous film, 1969. Green Fingers, wonderful. I love to get into the garden and get my hands into the soil and think to myself, when's the gardener turning up?
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of Into.
Yes. Ooh. 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 It is quite right.
Guilford is really.
Yes. Small word, but you did repeat it. Into the garden, into
Harsh,
the
fair.
Yeah.
That's well summed up.
Yeah. We've all learned a lesson there, haven't we, Linda? Yeah.
Clement, you have the point. You have the subject. 22 seconds. Green fingers starting now.
Until I approached the parsley bed, there were absolutely no herbs at all in our garden. And thanks to my green fingers, we now have herbaceous borders that would outwit, outplay...
Paul Challenge.
I don't know that an herbaceous border can outwit anybody. If I saw an herbaceous border offering me a cheap villa in Spain... I don't think I'd go for it. I don't think I'd be sitting in Madrid 3 years later saying, well, I rue the day I ever took a business deal without a herbaceous border. It's deviation. Herbaceous borders can't outwit anybody. A tulip, now there's another thing.
Yeah. Paul, you're in great form, and we absolutely love it, but I think
Nicholas, no, you're not going to say. Yes. You're not going to tell me you were once outwitted by an herbaceous border.
I gained the impression that what Clement was trying to convey was that the quality of his herbaceous border outwitted the other ones of his rivals or friends.
But that's just nonsense.
Well, Clement justified, otherwise he has it.
I think that was an admirable analysis.
You're going to have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, Clement.
We have a fine chairman.
Yes.
And so benefit of the doubt.
Yes, I give this out on occasions, as you know, and I try to rebalance the situation if I think it comes up in your favour some other time. Clement, carry on. 8 seconds, green finger, starting now.
Rhododendrons, tulips.
Poor child.
Sorry, I can't let this go. I'm going to challenge again.
Yes, I won.
I don't think you can be outwitted by an herbaceous border. Give me the benefit of the doubt.
If I had an herbaceous border and you had an herbaceous border and I came and saw yours, you'd say, my herbaceous border's outwitted yours.
You're right, I'm wrong. Security.
I won't
so
charge
is
you.
This a sort of crime-solving herbaceous border?
Actually, you hear it on Gardener's Question Time, don't you? Dear Gardener's Question Time, my herbaceous border's recently bought a Volvo car without my knowledge.
Yes, dear Gardener's Question Time, my herbaceous borders recently beat me at chess several times.
Am I the only person here whose herbaceous border was in the final of Brain of Britain in 1983?
I have to stick by what I understand.
Oh, well.
There was a...
we're all lost.
Doesn't the real world come into this? What you understand and what passes for the real world are two different things.
Well, I have to give judgment in your favour sometimes, and sometimes it's equally difficult because you're very semantic with things. But I will leave it with Clement. He doesn't get a point for that, by
Why
the
not?
Way, because he interrupted.
Why not?
Oh, well, he wants his points. Give him one. Then. No. 6 seconds left, Clement. Green fingers starting now.
Basil, mint and rosemary would have shriveled had it not been for my manipulation.
So, Clement, speaking as the whistle went, and with the benefit of the doubt from the chairman on a very debatable point, has moved forward into a strong lead. And, Clement, is also your turn to begin. The subject is the commuter belt. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The commuter belt is an Icelandic folk dance. It's rather like hokey cokey, only it is practiced by large numbers of Icelandic people.
Yes, Graham.
Icelandic.
That's right, Icelandic dance and Icelandic people.
Am I wrong?
No, you got it right. Good night. Don't apologise.
I feel awful. Believe it.
48 seconds available. The commuter belt with you, Graham, starting now.
The commuter belt around London has now become so large, it is only of interest to Eamon Holmes. He studied it each morning. The reports from the M25, that's a big road all around the capital. Ooh, come see it, provincial folk. And, well, we live here. We can talk about it. We know what it is. They...
Linda Chams.
I wish I hadn't, though, but... It was repetition
don't,
of...
Stop!
No, I won't.
No,
repetition of we?
Hmm. Yes, we.
It's a very small word, isn't it?
I know, but you did say... Audience, it is the game. To be fair to you, Linda, it wasn't just one or two wees, it was three or four wees.
Oh,
a complete wee-wee.
Just a stream of them, wasn't it? Really?
Back to green fingers.
Is it hesitation, repetition, deviation, and incontinence? Is that what we're... that what we're voting for?
How long did it take you to work that one out? That was...
About 12 years.
Linda, you have got the challenge, and you have 26 seconds on the commuter belt starting now.
The commuter belt? Guildford, I suppose, would be seen as being in the commuter belt, meaning that people live here and go somewhere else, for example, London, to work, and come back to Guildford when they feel a bit sleepy.
And Clement challenged.
Repetition of Guildford.
Guildford, yeah. Yes.
But can you have too much of Guildford?
You can have too much of playing to the audience, though. Clement, a correct challenge, and 13 seconds available. The commuter belt starting now.
In Iceland, the Icelanders, on St. Magnus Day, scrapes...
Linda challenged.
Said Iceland before.
No, Icelandic.
Icelandic.
And he said, but in Iceland, I thought he said the Icelandic something.
No, Iceland and Iceland.
No, he said Iceland secondly, but I thought he said...
Oh, he repeated Iceland. And
No, he didn't say Icelandic, was what you said before. He hasn't repeated.
I'm lucky I brought my solicitor.
And we're bringing in a herbaceous board as an expert witness.
You won't let this one lie, will you,
no.
Paul? Next time we record just a minute, it'll come up again. Right. So, somebody did a herbaceous board. No, it isn't. It is the commuter belt. 8 seconds with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm not sure where the commuter belt is because it keeps moving further and wider and longer away from the centre of the city.
So Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went again. An extra point. He's increased his lead at the end of the round. Graham Norton and Paul Merton equal in second place. Linda's just training them a little. And Paul, it's your turn to start. And these subjects are all thought out before we begin the show. And it's very strange this one should come up now. And I'm a bit nervous of saying it. It says, how to treat the chairman. And you have 60 seconds. Starting now.
Regulo 8. I think Nicholas is a wonderful chairman. He's superb. He turns up every week to do this recording. Just a minute. Nobody asks him, but they can't get rid of him. What a fantastic man he is. He has pursued a career in show business, and he's nearly there, you know. He only needs another couple of appearances, and he has his equity contract all sorted out. Nicholas's reputation.
And Linda challenge.
Quite a lot of he...
Oh.
Quite a lot of he.
Yes, said he quite a lot of times.
Right, that might be repetition. Will that be repetition, Nicholas?
Yes, it was, but I think we're going to be careful of these small words.
Yeah,
and I gave it to you the last time, Linda, but I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to you this time, Paul. In order to redress the balance...
And we'll always have Guildford, won't we?
No, no. In order to redress the balance, which I gave to Clement earlier on against you, so you have the benefit of the doubt, you have an incorrect challenge, you have 37 seconds, how to treat the chairman, starting now.
I first saw the chairman appear on stage in a Ray Cooney farce, it's very theatre. In fact, I say it was written by that...
Hesitation.
Yes, we have to have it in case you come up with something else. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge. 31 seconds starting now.
I think when to treat the chairman would be a much better question than how to treat the chairman. And the answer would be infrequently. And if you were to say, is that one word or two, I think you have a point.
Paul Challenge. There was a hesitation, yes. So you have the subject back, Paul. You have 16 seconds, starting now.
Nicholas's career is...
Clement Challenge.
He said Nicholas.
I know you did mention my name before.
The second one was Linda buzzed halfway through Nicholas's, so it was my first Nicholas's.
I buzzed halfway through that Nicholas's.
But I had one Nicholas.
I want the benefit of the doubt.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
They'll do anything to get the subject, won't they? Right, Clement, you have it. 13 seconds. How to treat the chairman, starting now.
You take him to the theatre and buy him sweets and ply him with extraordinary goodies in the interval, like Mars bars, Milky Ways, and ice creams flavoured with...
Cool.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, there was, yes.
Well, I thought she dropped her whistle.
No.
I thought I'd been going on a bit.
You see, I must explain to our listeners, they watch Janet beside me, and when she picks the whistle up, she knows there's only about half a second to go, so he ran out of steam. But it wasn't. There was a second to go on this occasion, so Paul got in first, and you have half a second on how to treat the chairman, Paul, starting now.
Herbaceous borders!
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton speaks as the whistle went, and he's now in second place still, just a little way behind Clement Freud, a little way ahead of Graham Norton and Linda Smith in that order. And, Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is fairy tale endings. Tell us something. Something about fairy tale endings. 60 seconds, starting now.
I have long had a deep-seated interest in fairy tale endings. My investigations of fairy tale endings have meant that I have probed many of them. Many would say sticking my nose in where it wasn't wanted. But I won't be stopped. My intellectual curiosity is insatiable. On and again and more words like that.
Cameron challenged.
Two Anns. On and yes. Again and.
Yes, a very pronounced Ann, so yes, I have to give it to him, right. Yeah. Clement, yeah. You have 28 seconds. Fairy tale endings starting now.
And the unicorn said, "You have been so nice to me and given me such extraordinarily delicious provender that you and your father, mother, uncle, aunts, dog, cat, horse and gerbil will live happily ever after, and I sincerely trust that each time you open this book, you will read it to all your family and blow your whistle."
Well, on that occasion, Clement Freud actually forced a whistle out of Janet.
It's a good trick if you can do it.
Yes. And you got the whistle, and you got the point, and you're in a good, strong lead ahead of Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Linda Smith in that order. She's still in fourth place, but she... But no, Linda hasn't played the game for quite as recently as the others, and... Linda, last time you were here, but it was about 2 years ago, you won. But you've got to get the feel of it again, haven't you, really?
No, I've played more recently than 2 years. It's trouble because everything seems a long time ago to you now, Nicholas, doesn't it?
I was saying that to be
Guildford was all fields then.
But anyway, you're in a very strong fourth position.
Strong last, yes.
And not very far behind Graham Norton, because we're moving into the final round, by the way, and it's Clement Freud's turn to begin, and the subject is The Perfect Snack. Clement, tell us something about that in the St. James, starting now.
St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, to which, as far as I know, he never got a reply, wrote about the piece of cod that passeth all understanding, which I think is probably the perfect snack, although today I believe that I would produce a persimmon milkshake. You can go to a greengrocer now and buy Sharon fruit.
Linda Challenge.
I think it's persimmon, not persimmon.
Yes, it is.
In fact, both.
Yeah.
Depends
Guildford
entirely.
Guildford is so posh. They're going, yes, yes, she's right.
We had one in a pavlova the other day, and it was definitely persimmon. Well, so persimmons a little bit bigger, are they?
Yeah. Well, the audience at Guildford have endorsed that you had a correct challenge. And I wouldn't go against the audience of Guildford, because...
Because the chauffeurs will beat us up afterwards.
So, what we do, we have a correct challenge, a point, and a bonus point to Graham for that particular mark. Yes.
It's all a bonus point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have a bonus point because it won't make any difference to the result, darling.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. And you have another point for a correct challenge.
But it won't make any difference.
Correct challenge. In fact, give her 2 points, because she's lovely. And you had the subject of the perfect snack starting... Oh, and the number of seconds, 33, starting now.
The perfect snack. For me, the perfect snack is a meal between the size of a proper dinner and nothing. Something that is tasty and perhaps toasty. Mushrooms on toast is a lovely snack, especially with some black pepper and perhaps a little garlic. Mmm, yum. I'll only say that word expressing deliciousness once, otherwise I might be tempted into repetition, as I have been so very tragically often this evening. Another snack...
So Linda Smith was then at last speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with other points in that round, really has leapt forward. And in the final analysis of the points scored, she...
Choking on your own lies.
In the final analysis of the points scored, she has overtaken Graham Norton, and she...
Oh, it's all very funny now, isn't it? Oh, give her a point, give her a point.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Yes. And only 1 point ahead. This is...
I earned my points. Not many of them.
I should explain to our listeners there's a great deal of visual comedy going on here. Graham's face was a picture, and that's why they were applauding. So give him a bonus point for his face. So now he's equal in third place with Linda Smith. But there were only 2 points behind Paul Merton, whose contribution was always as ever outstanding. But Clement, with his erudition and cleverness, got most points. So we say this week, Clement Freud, you are the winner. We have no more time to play just a minute, so it only remains me to say thank you to these four wonderful players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Linda Smith and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who was helping with the score. She'd blown her whistle so delicately. We thank our producer-director, Miss Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game. And we're greatly indebted to this lovely audience, this cultured audience here in the Ivan Arno Theatre in Guildford, who cheered us on our way. Thank you from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And you can tune in at the same time next week when Just a Minute will come from the Watford Palace Theatre.